As the Eagles' level of concern rises, the question marks are growing. This is the Ron Jaworski Show, live from the Sugar House Casino and Otho Davis Scholarship Dinner Banquet. The Ron Jaworski Show is exclusively on Philadelphia's football station, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Ron Jaworski Show. And we are coming to you live from the Sugar House Casino, the Otho Davis Scholarship Foundation Dinner. And we're going to have a fast hour for you. We've got a whole bunch of celebrities that are going to join us here at the Otho Davis Extravaganza here at Sugar House. And I want to thank our sponsors once again, the fine folks over at Burns Honda, Jim McCormick, and the whole gang. Love them. Visit them today at burnshonda.com. Want to thank Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. Track live scores right on your TV and easily switch between games with the sports app. Want to thank my buddy Nick Jaffray. Nick's going to join us here tonight at the Otho Davis Scholarship Foundation Dinner. He's the man over at Bradford White Water Heaters, American-made, American-owned, and built to be the very best. And if you want to reach me or the cast of, 8 or 10 that we'll have on in the next hour, you can reach us at 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. And we're going to come right out of the chute. We're going to talk a little Eagles football, because this guy is one of the preeminent wide receivers in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Harold Carmichael. Harold, great to have you with us here.
It's always great to be with you, my man.
All right, let's go down to the Meadowlands, or up to the Meadowlands. Fourth down play. And I know you and I have talked about this, so I'm going to set you up for this. How many times did we run that play, play, that little inside fade? When you saw it, what did you think as the play was developing?
Well, you know, on that play, you have to be very aggressive. And like you said, we worked on it a lot with Coach Vermeil almost every day, especially every Friday. We worked on that. And people has been asking me about it because of Beckham Green being the size that he is. I think that what he has to do, again, I said more aggressive and stuff. You know, when you get down, he has to get to know the quarterback, and the quarterback has to get to know him. You know how we, we've had plays where I looked in at you, you're shaking your head, and we know what's going on. You know, but, you know, if you don't work on that play enough, if you don't work on in the red zone enough, once you get down there, which they're going to get down there a lot, you got to know what you're going to do and how are you going to do it.
Yeah, when you look at this Eagle team, they have been good between the 20s. And when you get in that red zone, if you kick field goals, you're going to lose football games.
You got to put six on the board. And I think they have the people to do it. They have to learn how to do it. You know, right. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's not that they don't, you know, they can't do it, but just learn how to do it and really get on the same page with each other. That's the biggest thing that I see.
Well, that's always the key when you get down there. And Harold, you know, you said a moment ago when you and I played together, it was literally almost every day. Know on a Saturday, day before the game, and of course, the game is different now. You can't practice as much because of the collective bargaining agreement.
You don't have the
rules.
Time.
You don't have the time.
Right.
And you can't wear your pads anymore because contact is now illegal in the National Football League. I think that's the latest rule change. But if you don't rep that, and you and I, every day at practice when the team would be doing 9-on-7, which is interior line play and running backs, we'd go down to the end zone and work on those 5-yard fades, the 4-yard fade. Now, and we'd work right down to the 1-yard line because the timing changes.
Exactly.
Start at the 20, the inside fade. You know, meet me at the corner.
Right. You know, we said whatever it's going to take for me to get to that corner to meet you and the ball right there. That's what I had to do. And a lot of guys, you know, the Eagles players has to know that and learn how to do that. They will. I got a lot of faith in Greg Lewis, the receiver coach there. And Greg played when I was with the player development, and he learned a lot. I tried to help him out a lot, and I see him doing a lot of things that, you know, I kind of try to teach him about. So, you know, it's using your hand. He has to use Beckham used to need to use his hand more. I mean, also with Jordan Matthews, they're both, you know, they're strong, big, strong guys. You use your hands more. You have to set the receiver, set the defensive back so that you can make those moves. And I think that they'll do it. And they watch themselves on the film, the practice film. in the game films, they'll see what they're going to have to do.
Yeah, and I think when you get in that red zone, that's when you have to be at your best. And, you know, the Eagles in the red zone, they've made 91 trips to the red zone, scored 15 touchdowns. You know, that's middle of the road in the NFL. They've got to do a better job in converting when they get to that area of the field. Of those 91 drives and those 32 red zone visits, you're about 50%. Got to improve upon that. But, Harold, when you watch receivers in this league now, and I know we're going to see a heck of a receiver coming in here in Philadelphia.
And he's
Julio
one of my
Jones.
Favorites right now.
Yeah, he's a special player.
He can do it all.
And when you watch the game now, and you've seen the evolution of wide receivers in this league right now, and a lack of defense and a lack of contact there now is, when you see a guy like Julio Jones, who is a probably 6'4", 220-pound type receiver, great speed. What makes him so special?
Well, it seems like he's really aggressive. I like to see him after he catches the ball. He runs with the ball. He knows how to run the ball. He gets open. He uses his all of the tools that he needs to use. You know, using your hands, setting receivers, running crisp routes. He just does it all. You know, and you kind of want to, you want to see a lot of our guys do the same thing.
Yeah, good. Hey, we're sitting here over at the Sugar House Casino, and I said you would be coming in, Mr. Nick Jaffray. Nick, great to see you, man.
It's always good, Nick.
Yeah, good to have you. Good? Comes in here. Look at the stylist joining us here. Yeah, look at him. Looks like he just came off the casino floor.
GQ. He's GQ today.
Nick Jaffray, man, the man that heads up Bradford White Water Heaters. Nick, great to see you. And Harold, you know what? This becomes a big game now. 4-4, midway point of the season. You know, this is when you got, and fortunately the Eagles have played well at home. This is, did you start thinking these become the must-win games?
You have to win in November. You know, those are the big, that's the big month. You know, you start winning in November, that'll take you into February a lot of times, you know. But every game they play here on end, they must win. You know, you got, you're going to split with your division of teams right now. You got to win when they come here. You know, a big home team, a playing team, you know, and I think they're going to be pretty good. They're going to be set for Atlanta coming. I like what the defenses are doing. You know, as you know, we really have to work that offense and defensive line. That's very important. If they're not good, I don't care who you have in their back, then back of them, you know, defensive, the linebackers and the defensive back, I don't care who you have back there, they still going to get beat. You know, offensively, you got to get your offensive line, going and just trying to stay healthy. That's one of the most, the biggest part of your team. You have to really try to keep healthy, you know, because if they're healthy, you can just about put anybody in the backfield, you know.
Yeah, you know, Harold, John Madden had a great line. No, the season doesn't start till there's frost on the pumpkins. And we are there, my brother. We are there.
The November month is just very big in the NFL. You win in November, a lot of times you can win your division.
And now you're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show here from the Sugar House Casino. My very special guest, this guy's a Hall of Fame talent, Mr. Harold Carmichael. Harold, always great to have you.
Hey, man, you're the best. Hey. You're the best. You know, not only because you were my quarterback and all of that, though.
Well, you can suck up to me. That's okay,
whatever,
Harold.
Do that. You might buy me a beer later on.
Yeah, of course I will. Service, get one over here right now.
No beer. just the things that you do in the community. I really take my hat off to you, man. I have a lot of respect for you. And just keep up the good work.
Just keep having fun, talking ball. Nothing like it. You know, hey, this evening, you know, it is a very special evening for guys like yourself, myself. Coach Ramil is going to be here. A number of former players hanging out here tonight. Otho Davis, was all too often we don't talk about the athletic trainers, in professional sports, but collegiate sports, and maybe even at the high school level, the significance they play in the outcome of games. And we were fortunate to have a guy in Otho Davis, who is named in honor of, to keep us on the field every week. And I know you and Otho were very close during your playing days. After your playing days, you head up this Otho Davis Foundation along with Jimmy Solano and Maria Solano, and it's special for you, isn't it?
It's very special. It's always been special for me because, as you said earlier, he kept me on the field. I remember one week I sprained my ankle, and it was on a Wednesday, and that Sunday I was playing. You know, Otho has been so much a part of my life. It's really, I look at the things that he's done with me, done for me. He sold me a dog, sold me a shotgun. He sold me a cowboy hat and cowboy boots. You know, he was my head coach on the basketball circuit that we had. You know, I was around Otho probably year-round pretty much with the basketball team. We played a lot of basketball, and he would be our designated driver.
That basketball team was pretty competitive, in the honesty of that.
We lost once. We only lost one, game, and that was to some nuns.
You know, what I remember about those games, we got paid $100 a game to play those games.
$75 some games. Paul James games was $75 a game.
$75? Yeah. I think he cheated you. I think he kept $25 for himself. We weren't making the kind of money they're making.
I think it's $1,000 a game right now. You know, maybe more.
Carson Wentz. You know, Harold and I, you know, we had this special chemistry. You know, you and I. I mean, I could look at you. You could look at me. I knew what you were doing. You knew what I was doing. You'd yell at me a number of times, too, when I
shaking your head. Right?
How important is it for Carson Wentz to develop that unique chemistry with this receiving corps?
It's very important, Ron. As I said earlier, you know, the receiver's has to know what Carson is thinking and vice versa. You know, Carson has to know what they're thinking. You know, he has the body language and, you know movement coming off the ball, seeing where, you know, you saw we didn't ever do back shoulders. We didn't ever do it because I got between the defensive back.
I hated that throw. These guys that excel at that is mind-boggling.
Well, that's cheating. Yeah. You know, it's cheating against a defensive back, you know, a helpless defensive back. But I think Carson is going to develop into a great quarterback. He's learning the game. Again, I'm going to keep saying he has to learn his receivers and to throw the ball to them all the time, not just in the few minutes in the practice. Again, I'm going to say they don't have enough time. You know, NFL doesn't give the teams long enough to practice. You know, got no more than two and a half hours. You can get it in those 2.5 hours, you know, because there's, you know, sometimes you have those repeats all the time. You don't need that repeat all the time. You know, they just... I guess a coach want to get perfect, but, you know, spend some of that time in the red zone.
You know, as I've watched this Eagle team now, you know, through their first 8 games, and obviously breaking down every single play and watching Carson Wentz very closely, to me there's an area that he has to improve upon. Reading the blitz. And the games he has struggled in is when teams have been effectively blitzing him. And in the New York game, the last 4 plays of that game, the Giants came with 0 coverage. They brought one more defender than the Eagles could block. And I actually thought on 3 of the 4 plays, take away the screen play, which was a screen play, and you're throwing the ball to Darren Sproles on a screen, I thought he had opportunities to throw the hot route.
But do they have that in? Because they had the quarterback sweep, I guess, a couple of times on that. You know, so, I mean, that pre-snap look you need to, you know, read a lot of times with those blitzes.
Harold, when they're lining everybody up the line of scrimmage,
you have to know
and
that's
they're coming. Yeah, so, right. And you know, they could have had the quick pop pass to Zach Ertz on the first down play. I think Jordan Matthews was there. And it looked to me like these weren't – I mean, people do so many things differently now in today's NFL offensive-wise schematically. They have these built-in – we used to call them sight adjust. Like, you may have a 20-yard dig called, but if they came with a 0 coverage, you know, sight adjust. We saw it.
Yes.
You know, I'd have to throw it to you.
And that was automatic for us. You know, we knew exactly what the defense is going to do to you. You know, we watched film. You know, how Dick used to watch a film 32 times. We would watch one play. But, you know, Dick was like, look at his feet. When you watch his feet, you know what he's getting ready to do. So from that, you know, I'm looking in, I'm going to be the hot receiver, and you're going to see it also. We made so many big plays off of, you know, people trying to blitz us. We stopped people from doing that.
Hey, Harold, we're joined by another great offensive lineman,
a big
contributor, Trey Thomas, the first round pick out of Florida State, 11 seasons with the Eagles, 3-time Pro Bowler, 168 starts. By the way, we probably got a lot of starts. How you doing, big fella?
I'm good. How's everything?
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
He's looking great, too. He's down the pin side right now.
I was just trying to keep it together. You know, just trying to, you know. You can't get older and fall off.
He's leaving the sandwiches alone.
You know, I learned from my older guys.
We're the older guys.
No, but yeah, you know, you're the ones that's kind of showing me the way.
Yeah. He was a knucklehead sometimes.
Hey, man, but I listen
Listen, yeah. We got a little Coach Ramil sneaking, and we're going to grab him in a few moments. We get it again. He'll coach us up, Trey. Relax a little bit. What are you up to?
Oh, man, just studying right now.
Studying?
Yes, I've been studying. I've been just going through a little transition right now. I was studying when I did my license with life insurance, and then right now I'm studying for the Series 7. Just trying to do some different things.
Wow. You know,
just trying to reevaluate, refocus, and retool some things.
Any chance to get back into coaching and things like that? Did you enjoy that experience?
I really did enjoy the experience. I enjoy being in the trenches always and just being able to share whatever wisdom that you learn along the way in the game, you know. But right now, I'm just enjoying. I also enjoy being with my boys during the day. You know, my kids right now are at an age where, you know, I like to go to their practices and be there for them. And, you know,
how old are they, Trey?
13 and 9.
Right? Oh, that's a great time.
So, you know,
so they're playing
time.
Ball?
Yeah, my 13-year-old is playing basketball. My 9-year-old is playing baseball.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm enjoying that process and then, you know, just educating myself and just doing some different stuff.
I didn't hear football mention what they're doing. Any particular reason?
I let my son play football last year in Florida. We went down to Florida last year, and he played for the middle school team. He played offensive line. He did good, you know, but right now he wants to kind of focus on basketball because he's like 6'5".
He's a giant.
Yeah, he's 6'5". You know, I'm like, man, if you can work
13?
On your touch, get your game right.
One thing I like about that, wanting to play basketball, it gets you your footwork really good too, you know. That's great to do that.
Because he's 13, man. I have time to make you a lineman if that's what's going to happen, or make you a tight end or something. Go and do something else.
He's a giant.
You're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show. We're coming to you live from the Sugar House Casino. Sal Palantonio walking around. Dick Vermeil, they'll join us a little bit later. But I'm honored right now to have Harold Carmichael with us and Trey Thomas. This guy's got a couple of Pro Bowl attachments to their resume, some great players. And Trey, how much do you watch the Eagles offensive line right now?
I've been watching a lot of it. You know, I'm just like everybody else, always tuned in and just I went over there the other day just to kind of sit down and watch film, because you know, it's nothing like sitting there with the remote in your hand. That's one thing I really miss, you know, just not being in the film room and being able to watch the game.
The clicker.
Yeah, the clicker. It's nothing like it, you know. So you know, I went over there the other day and just started watching some stuff, and you can tell, like, the team is getting there, you know. It's definitely some protection issues that need to get cleaned up, but that's all part of the process.
Yeah, I actually thought, you know, and you know, I'm a wonk for this stuff. I sit there with my clicker over NFL Films and watch this stuff, and I think for the most part, this offensive line has played really, really well.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, when you look at the record, you can't say, well, it's because of the offensive line. I know, obviously, you lose Lane, and that's a huge loss, but Vitae stepped in, and I thought, you know, after the Washington game, he's been very steady. That's all you can ask for a rookie.
Stepped in and became a little – he's firmed up his protection a lot. You can tell, like, he's not leaning as much. You can understand he's starting to pick up when he has that wide three technique, when it might be a game, when to kind of drag. You know, that's all part of the game that, you know, you're just going to have to get that experience and take your lumps, you know, and that's just
You know, penalties that hurt the offensive line a couple of times, too, you know, those things are holding. But, again, those things could be fixed.
Yeah. All the things that could be fixed, I mean, especially with the blitz the other day when you had Lee come through, that's just a slight decision that could be made where the center can come and switch that off, bump it back, and then that's covered, you know. But those are all decisions that you have to just go through film and just working it out.
You know, Trey Harrell and I already talked about this. You know, today's NFL, the limited practice time that you now have, the limited time you have to work in pads.
Mm-hmm.
When Coach Ramil walked by here a moment ago, I remember a comment he made, no one's gotten any better by practicing less.
Mm-hmm.
How does that impact young players coming into this league in their development?
I think one of the things, if that's where the league is going to go, you're going to really have to up your film study. And that's where the guys are going to have to really start paying attention a little bit more to the game, because you're really going to have to just spend that time. You're going to have to become a student of the game if you can't really get out there and get the actual work on the field. So even where you start evaluating yourself a little bit more, getting that extra work, taking a camera out there, filming your stuff, go through your stuff so that you can watch yourself a little bit, you know, to kind of help your game, just because you can't get those reps.
You know, you played 11 years in the league. You finished your career down in Jacksonville. And you watch a lot of young players coming into this league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you became that all-pro, wily old veteran, and you start watching young guys, what would be the first thing you would tell them?
As a lineman?
As a lineman.
Learn how to count steps. make sure you don't let your inside foot drag too much, and don't ever punch with your outside hand first.
I'm writing notes. You know,
I mean, don't
inside, punch first.
It's always 1-2. You're a boxer out there, so yeah. It's always jab. You only bring your outside hand if it's really something that you need to get into. But everything else should just be 1-2. If you throw your outside hand first, if he cleans it, you're done. You have nothing else. You know, and it just makes sure that you, if you're going inside, don't drop your inside foot. So those are my four pointers right there.
So when you grab these young guys, I mean, I know you've got a coach. You probably was Juan your coach for a number of years?
Yes.
I know
all my years.
All years, and Juan is an
awesome coach.
Awesome fanatic, coach. Fanatic, you know?
Yeah.
And you love being around Juan because he lives it, he sleeps it, he breathes it, you know, man, that's what he does. So you get these guys, they come in.
Uh-huh.
All right, you're the wily old veteran.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling. They're struggling. They might be punching with their outside hand. They may be having bad footwork. They're getting caught up in the game. They're not playing well. How do you settle a guy down?
It just comes from just repetition. You just have to put that work in and then start showing it on film. Even if you get beat trying it, try it. Just you have to make it a habit. We didn't get to where we were. I didn't get to 11 years. You know, it was a process, you know, and you had to just keep working the process. And then also, like, I would tell a young player, even when it comes to pass rushing, I would like to tell a player to make sure that if you're going to bull, don't always try to hang in on the bull and go. You know, don't be afraid to give that one hand stab and change your direction. Change your foot you have back, because that changes up the time, the timing when you're going to make contact. So, you know, that's
the one move that I see that is most prevalent now from defensive ends. And now they got these Von Miller fast linebackers and all these guys. And, you know, they got a guy, you probably played at, 320? And the first move I see now is that stab.
Yeah.
Man, they want to hit you right in that sternum.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so you're saying you need to knock him away at that point.
Well, you know what? If you come with a one-hand bull rush is extremely hard to deal with if an offensive lineman doesn't know how to handle it. You need to be able to clean that hand with your inside hand. But if you come with a one-hand bull, your one hand is longer than my two. You can reach your hand out and really extend yourself, and I won't be able to touch you. So when you have that boom and then you change directions, man, that one-hand bull rush, and then when you can let it die and then you change, it drops your shoulder, you give it and then you take it away, man. It's something
I wish
nasty.
Our audience could see you right now.
Me too. I'm loving this.
We need a simulcast here as Mike Dougherty walks in the plate and see Trey go through that movement, man. It's awesome, great stuff. Yeah. Hey, you're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with my very special guests, Harold Carmichael and Trey Thomas. We are coming to you live from the Sugar House Casino for the Otho Davis Scholarship Foundation dinner, and we got about another 35 minutes of fun talking ball. But I want to thank you guys for joining me here.
No problem.
And we'll be back right after this. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Tonight at 7, the Sixers are on the road to take on the Indiana Pacers.
And Embiid swats it off the glass.
Hear all the Sixers basketball action right here.
Jaleel throws down on the stifled power.
Your home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball. 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, week 10 in the NFL starts tomorrow night. Cleveland at Baltimore, and then a weekend of games. College and the NFL, and that means you got to go to mybookie.net. If you like getting in on the action, placing your picks, and winning big, don't waste any time and go to mybookie. You've heard us say it before. If you like the action, then mybookie is the way to go to place your picks and win. Tomorrow's game's a no-brainer. Take Baltimore. Who do you like this weekend? Kansas City over Carolina, San Diego over Miami, Dallas over Pittsburgh. Plenty of games to get in on. If you got the winners picked out, you need to go to MyBookie. Place your picks and win. Don't let this week go by without making your picks at MyBookie. I'm telling you, sign up now at MyBookie, the industry-leading website. Don't waste your picks just thinking about it. Join MyBookie now and get in on the action. Why go anywhere else? Go online at MyBookie to open up an account. Go to MyBookie. Use promo code Fanatic. That's promo code Fanatic. Sign up and start winning big only at MyBookie.
Ron Jaworski here to invite you to come out and experience all we have to offer at my signature golf courses. We aim to create memorable experiences for everyone. From phenomenal river views to the natural beauty of the pine lands, you will appreciate the condition of all our golf courses. You will embrace the challenge. You will marvel at the views. You'll enjoy it when you're here. I love it. You'll love it too. Visit ronjaworskigolf.com.
Looking to get engaged? Don't miss Family and Company Jewelers' Viraggio Trunk Show November 11th and 12th. See the largest selection of Verragio rings in the area and save hundreds. One weekend only, preview brand new styles and settings and have Verragio custom design a ring just for you. Family and Company Jewelers is the Delaware Valley's largest diamond destination. Go to their showroom in Marlton, New Jersey, November 11th and 12th for the Verragio Trunk Show and save hundreds on the ring of her dreams. Online at familyjewelers.com.
We're talking turkey at Kia of Westchester and Kia of Coatesville. All new 2016 Kia Sorentos are discounted up to $10,000 off MSRP. Drive home one for just $111 per month or two for $222. Apply online. It's fast, easy, and won't affect your credit score at JimSapalaKia.com. That's JimSapalaKia.com.
Qualified applicants, 24-month leases, $39.90 down each, plus tax acquisition and first payment, zero security deposit. Discount includes factory and lease rebates. Offers don't combine. Expires month's end.
Their legend is legendary. They've connected for more touchdowns than any other duo in the game. They call the end zone their second home, and the pylons their garden gnomes. They are professional football player watchers. Because they have NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. With NFL Red Zone, they can experience every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons. And with NFL Network, they get 24/7 coverage of the entire league, plus every Thursday night football game. Change the way you experience TV. Become a pro fan, only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 Triple Play from Comcast and get the best in TV, internet, and voice. Plus, add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network and get every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit Xfinity.com today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
I love that music. Getting me in the mood for the Otho Davis Scholarship Foundation dinner. Welcome back to the Ron Jaworski Show, and we are coming to you live from the Sugar House Casino. Big crowd on hand for the Otho Davis Scholarship Foundation dinner. And Honda is proud to present the Ron Jaworski Show, and I am so excited to welcome back Burns Honda. I've been working with these folks for about 6 years now, and they are phenomenal. From sales to service, they can't be beat. My buddy Jim McCormick over at the dealership, yeah, they're located on Route 70 in Marlton, and they are ready to take great care of you like they've taken great care of me. If you're in the market for a newer used car, you have to go to Burns Honda. They have the 2016 North American Car of the Year, the Honda Civic. Burns also has 30-time Car and Driver 10 Best winner, the Honda Accord, as well as the CR-V, a Kelly Blue Book Best Buy. Looking for a used car? They have a large selection, including Burns Honda certified used cars with a real 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And unlike other dealers, warranty at Burns starts from the date of purchase and the actual miles on the odometer. And it covers virtually every make and model. So for your next newer used car, go to Burns Honda Marlton or shop at BurnsHonda.com. Joining me right now, oh man, a couple superstars. Super Bowl winning coach, the great Dick Vermeil.
That's a real superstar.
Superstar
right
there. And the superstar celebrity MC tonight.
Well, yes.
The legendary Sal Palantonio. Guys, great to have you with us.
Yeah, always great to be with you. Know that.
No, coach. Wait a second. No, wait. You don't get to start.
Okay, here's what happened. There you go. This isn't the matchup show, Sal.
Coach,
we do this every week, and it's how we start the show. Sal's got to interrupt.
After the Eagles-Giants game, Coach, you know, I get him in my car, and it is customary that either I will call Jaws or Jaws will call me. So I jumped the gun and called Jaws after the Eagles lost to the Giants on Sunday, and I said, I don't even get three syllables out of my mouth. And he's like pounding on the, he's like banging the phone against the car or whatever it was. He had just got home and he was in his driveway and he goes, I was coached by the great Dick Vermeil. I was coached by Don Shula. These are guys who have 1,000 wins in the NFL. You kicked the field goal at 4th-and-1 on the road when you haven't won a road game all year and you haven't won a game in the division. You call Dick Vermeil right now. Dick Vermeil will tell you he would kick the field goal. That's exactly what happened.
I was a little worked up, Coach.
Yeah. I was a little worked up myself.
Sal, that was a good Jaws impersonation.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a fan now. I'm not an expert. Right. I'm a fan. And as a fan, I felt like a fan, you know. And I never second coaches. I don't always agree, And I think back to what I would have done. And at that time in my career, I didn't have the confidence to make those kind of decisions. And I also had a tendency to give my opponent more credit probably than I should give him, you know, because you talk about execution. Well, the defense gets paid to execute as well, you know. So, so it was out of my profile to do those things early in my career. And I like him. I like what he's doing. I like the confidence he has. And I think they'll only get better.
Do you believe in that, you know, saying this is how we're going to play? We're going to be aggressive. You know, we've heard it from Jack Del Rio out in Oakland and Sean Payton in New Orleans. And he said Bill Parcells probably went for it in fourth down more than anyone that I can recollect. Is it basically your personality that you can get this first down, or you know going into the game you got a matchup that you know you're gonna bulldoze someone out of it?
I don't know. Personally, I don't think you gamble unless you don't think you can win. You take chances because you're sitting on a borderline of not being able to beat them, and you think you've got to take some extra chances to beat them. You know, and that's the way I've always felt about it. And if you'll remember back, we would try to do some unusual things in situations. If like a fourth and one, I think we did it in Dallas when we beat him the first time.
We hit a play action pass for touchdown. Right.
Do something unusual like that, rather than if you're in fourth and one, a line up in running formation and run for, you know, good strong play action to come out and do something like that. But if it works, we're continuous. Geez, he was 5-0. You know, and the league overall is 49% complete, 49% conversion on fourth down.
Yeah, the Eagles are 6 for 9.
Yeah, 6 for 9.
The Eagles are 6 for 9 on fourth down.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, and, you know, right now they're tied for fourth in the league in fourth down attempts.
Yes.
You know, so teams are going for it more and more on fourth down. So I understand the aggressiveness. I get it. I understand.
But why if it's 49%, you know, you're going to get it. That's 50-50.
Yeah, no, you know, I totally agree.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could take either position on this. I mean,
no. Yeah, well, that early in the game.
That early in the game, you don't do it. I don't think you do it.
Well,
I'm sitting next to a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame. I'll be quiet and just let him talk about it. But I think, I mean, I'm in the same category as you, as I'm paid to be a professional fan in the press box, right? So I'm almost paid to second guess, right?
Yeah.
You're paid to second guess, mm-hmm. and in this particular case, I have to second guess him. Mm-hmm. I do.
But is it because you have access to the results?
Of course. Well, no, I think.
Or, I mean, when you're up in that press box and you're watching a game.
It's based on my film study, Josh.
He's been in for 38 seconds this week, Coach. I think about 2 seconds more than last week.
Yes, film study is.
But I can honestly say, this is just my opinion. Coach can express his opinion. At that time, and I was up at the game, and I said, take the points. I mean, I'm just a big believer that you don't go chase points unless you have to. That's just me. I've been around Coach Jermiel and Coach Shula and Coach Schottenheimer and Coach Knox and all those guys.
The other thing I learned as a young coach from a really smart man named Tommy Prothrow.
Yeah.
And I was running his offense for him at UCLA. Then I ran it for him at the Rams and helped get him fired. But anyway, he always said to me, when we're down in there, if you don't think we're going to get down there again, go for the touchdown. If you think we're going to be able to come back, we're moving the ball, take the three, because you're going to get back down here again. But if you're not really confident you're going to get back down and that close to the end zone with an opportunity to score a touchdown, go for it.
Well, you would think that in the first quarter, the answer to your ability to get down there again is pretty much always yes.
Yes.
Right?
Well,
pretty much always yes.
Yes. What I think slanted the whole thing, and I haven't talked to Doug, is all of a sudden find yourself down 14-0.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. That might change my thinking, your thinking. You know, Sal, it shakes you up a little bit. So maybe we got to get something here to get back in the game. But anyway, it backfired on them a little bit.
And a head coach's feel, I'm sure, comes into it. You know, I mean, you guess, hey, you know what? Okay, I'm feeling this one. I think we got a play that'll work. I actually thought – the Carson Wentz two-point conversion a couple weeks ago where they, you know, he ran a keeper. I thought, you know what? They went from two because Doug knew he had a play that was going to work. Sometimes you just know you got a, you know, a zone read, an option play, a power, a G lead, whatever you got. You know, hey, when I call this, you know this is good as gold. Yeah. This is going to work.
If I were a defensive coordinator, I would say to myself, Carson Wentz is not going to beat us running the ball on fourth down. Okay, that I'm good. He might run up inside with some running back, but Carson is not going to keep the ball successfully. Well, I would program that in my mind and within my defensive scheme.
Well, Coach, they don't have a short yardage back on this football team right now.
Yeah, that's just as important.
Darren Sproles is not a short yardage running back. Carson Wentz is not a short yardage running back. He's a quarterback. Kenyon Barner, I think, is capable of handling that job. I think. To a certain degree.
Well, you don't know until he gets out there. But, I mean, Steve Spagnuolo, it was almost like he knew the game plan. I mean, they slanted to the backside where the option was going to be, and they scraped the backside. Mm-hmm. So they had – it was like option is coming.
Yeah. I mean, and they're not going to let him keep the ball and beat him on a fourth down situation.
Right,
So that's a – okay, my film study's over, John.
You're done.
I don't see films. I see the replays, and then I study the numbers and see if I can come up with an opinion. But I like what he's doing, and I like him as a coach. I think the kids are playing hard, you know, and the defensive down linemen have a lot of responsibility on that team. Because they really control outcomes of football games. They're really humming.
Well, that's a wide nine, you know, and this down four has been playing phenomenal.
Oh, they have, yes.
What would you do, Coach, if one of your players, after you address the team post-game in the locker room, one of your players gathered the players and coaches right after your speech and had a few words to say about the direction of the team as Malcolm Jenkins did this past week?
You know, it depends on how long you've known the player. You know, and some guys, you're around the guys for a while and really get to know them. You're pleased with the input of a player that's really sincere and has got leadership ability, has got experience and that behind him. You know, if it were really early and I didn't know the guy real well and didn't know where he was coming from, then I probably would also have talked to the squad about things like that.
Gotcha.
It's sort of your overall presentation as a head coach. But I wouldn't discourage it, probably. No, I would not. I would discourage it if I would attack it if it was a phony. If he was a phony, then I would be upset about it. Tell him to keep his mouth shut. Look, our expression was, don't overload your rear end with your mouth.
Yeah, I heard that a lot, Sal. Like in private meetings.
Why do you think he calls Jaws?
I'm out, Jaws. I'm out. That's it for me. All right, Coach. Good to see you.
Hey, Sal, thanks for joining us. Great Sal Palantoni, the celebrity master of ceremony tonight here at the Otho Davis Foundation Scholarship Dinner. Coach, thank you very much. I'll see you in a couple minutes. We'll head inside. But we're going to have joining us right now the great Dr. J. Julius Irving joining us here in the Ron Jaworski Show here at the beautiful Sugar House Casino. Of course, Dr. J., Dick Vermeil, Sal Pal, old friends reminiscing, I guess, probably about the good old days. That's what you do when you're up in years. And by the way, as the coach walks away, want to wish Coach Vermeil a very happy birthday. His birthday, and we won't even mention the year, Coach. It was a number of years. That's correct. Doc, grab a seat, man. Put a little headset on there. Coach, we got Ike Reese coming in. We got everybody coming by. Hey, we're going to have a heck of a party here because that's how we roll. Like, that's how we roll. Hey, and you can handle all this. There you go. You good?
I'm good.
That wasn't that hard, was it? Great to see you, man. Everything
hard
good?
Times were back in 1929.
Hey, you know what? I remember all those good years back here in Philly, you know, the 80s.
Yeah.
AD, I mean, four teams in the championship game.
Pretty special.
I think this might be happening. There's some good things happening once again for our franchises. Give us kind of a thumbnail of where the Sixers are right now.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I'm an insider outsider. So I've been involved the last couple of years, mostly with fan support, season ticket holders, sponsors, not doing anything on a day-to-day basis as far as the players are concerned and player personnel. So,
yeah, that's a little better right there.
Hey,
so, so, I've talked to Coach, and Coach says maybe this year, he said, you can help me with some of these guys. And I said, well, yeah, I've been able to help you for the last few years, but, you know, I wasn't really asked to. And living in Atlanta versus being in Philadelphia, you know, if you're not tracking it day to day, week to week, then it's hard to give valuable input. But there's something that can be done. And Coach and I talk preseason, you know, about when the team comes down to Atlanta, you know, just getting the guys together, having them out to the house for dinner and you know, just showing them a little bit about the transition after the game is over, because this is something that they're not going to do forever. And it's always important, as you know, because you made such a great transition, you know, from player to non-player, that it's something you need to think about, because that could happen any minute. You know, the career and the injury.
Doctor, they listen. When you talk to these young guys, you know, I mean, the game is different, it's changing, the money's different. Do they listen to the great Julius Erving?
You still need to tell them. Now, I haven't been talking to them. Mm-hmm. So this is henceforth,
right,
something that we're talking, I'm talking to Coach about doing. And, you know, I like the idea of doing it. And I think the players will be responsible, because players from other teams have always... you know, it's funny. There's certain guys, once they get out, you know, players know who they are. They know what they're about, and they show them the props. Not across the board, not 100%, but anytime I run into, you know, the Tim Duncans of the world, and they're always shown great respect, even reverence. Kevin Durant is like that. Stephen Curry is like that. LeBron is like that. Where he knows what transpired before. When you know your history, then it's easy for you to be a good listener.
Well, you've got a pretty good resume. You've been a world champion. You're a Hall of Famer. So I would think the young players would at least have enough common sense to listen to Julius Erving. And when they do listen, what's the information? What's the message you give them?
I think it's probably what you don't do more so than what you do. Because, you know, they will have people trying to get at them all the time, influence them in terms of decisions that they make on a day-to-day basis. So don't come in as the preacher, you know. Come in as the teacher, you know, as the model, as the example. You know, I haven't done everything right since I left basketball almost 30 years ago. It'd be 30 seasons.
Wow.
It'd be 30 seasons once we get to
2017.
2017, 30 years. So everything hasn't been done right and everything hasn't gone right, but a lot of things have gone well. You know, we just were able to sell our brand to a New York-based company, and, you know, they got me and Shaq as their live people who are, you know, trying to do something special and groundbreaking in that regard.
What are you trying to do?
He's trying to be the bigger than life guy, funny and gargantuan and whatever.
Well, isn't he?
I'm trying to be the stylish, classy guy, get involved with some exotic
brands.
You've
already got that.
Well, good. We're trying to monetize it.
Right.
You know, it's about monetizing, not only for the individuals, but for the good of the whole.
Mm. Yeah. So where are you making home now?
I'm in Atlanta.
You're in Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm down in ATL.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But I'll be up here about 8 to 10 times a year during the course of the season. I'm actually coming back on the 21st to the Miami game. And we've got 3 games identified that we're going to come to. And so those will be opportunities to also talk to one or more of the players.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Doc, thanks for joining me here on the Ron Jaworski Show and joining us at the Otho Davis Scholarship Foundation Dinner. Such an iconic figure here in Philadelphia. Yeah. Thanks for taking up a little bit of time to join us.
All right.
Julius Erving,
always
Dr. J, joining
you.
Us here on the Ron Jaworski Show. Yeah. And that will do it. We're going to head into the ballroom and honor a young athletic trainer with a scholarship, which will be great. A beautiful crowd here at the Sugar House Casino, the Otho Davis Scholarship Fund Dinner. That will do it for the Ron Jaworski Show. Special thanks to all my guests, Julius Erving, Dick Vermeil, Sal Palantonio, Harold Carmichael, as I get my photo taken with the great Julius Erving. Have a great night, everyone. We'll be back next Wednesday with the Ron Jaworski Show.